Thank you, Brother Strong. We welcome everyone here to Bellevue Gospel Chapel on this Easter Sunday. I would say to you, Happy Easter. And as others will say, Happy Resurrection Day. And our brother made it clear earlier as he began the song service that every Sunday when we meet here, we are showing forth the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we take up the emblems, the bread and the wine. No? Put it back in. All right. I was given instructions to move it. The truth is I really don't need it. Okay, thanks. This was a wonderful portrayal of what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that the young ones, you know, the Bible says a little child shall lead them, and these little children led us into the resurrection story of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did a wonderful job, those who prepared them. We thank the Lord for all of them who participated in this. So we welcome each and every one of you. By the way, I heard something, I don't know if you've heard it too. You know that Easter is, Easter came very early this year, very early. Today is the 23rd, last day if I recall. Easter came somewhere around April 6th, so it's extremely early. I also heard that this is the earliest Easter has came in the last 95 years. The last time Easter was this early was in the year 1913, before anyone was born, anyone here was born, even Brother Brinkman. It's close, but 1990, you see that? It's very close. So his parents told him about that, so he knew that already. But we're happy to be here on this this day. It is indeed a wonderful day. Some of you might be reading from your own Bible, and some might be reading from the Bible that we have in the back of the church. I would like you to follow me. If you don't have one, if you raise your hand, Brother Ray there will bring you one. If you have one, then you can use it. I'll tell you where I'll be reading from so you can read along with me. And if you have your own, then you will find it. We're going to go to the Gospel according to Matthew. In this Bible, you're going to go to page 886. Page 886 in this Bible. And we'll be in chapter 27 for a few minutes. And then we'll move over to chapter 28. Gospel according to Matthew. And in chapter 27, like I said, page 886, for those of you using the Bible that's provided at the back. And we are going to start reading at verse 59. It says here, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. A great stone, not an ordinary stone. The kids were talking about the stone up here, and they want to roll it. So great stone was rolled, and Joseph departed. Verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. They were calling Jesus the deceiver. And they're saying, we remember, while he was alive, he said, after 3 days I will rise again. Verse 64. Remember now, they're speaking to Pilate, the chief priest. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last era shall be worse than the first. By the way, Pilate was not the chief priest, he was the governor. So they were speaking unto him. He was in authority. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So let's understand what's happening here. Jesus spoke many things while he was alive. And he made it clear that after he was crucified, in 3 days he shall rise again. They took him at his word. So they went to the person who had the highest authority, and they said, let me remind you, we don't believe him, he is a deceiver, so let's make sure now that nothing goes wrong. Let's make sure, they said. So they went by night, they command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, for the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate says, you go, make it as sure as you can. So they did that. And they set a watch to make sure that the disciples don't come by night and steal him away. Now we're on to chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. The angel did it. The angel rolled the stone away, that great big stone. Rolled away. One angel. Not his disciples. The angel rolled it away and sat upon it. Let's read on. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So, here are the folks. They were the ones watching over to make sure that the disciples don't come at night and steal Jesus away. The angel came now, and the angel rolled the stone away, didn't bother them, didn't do anything to them, and sat upon the stone. And all of a sudden now, they became fearful, and they became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women who were there, of course, fear not ye, for I know that he seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, those who went to Pilate said it right. Jesus said that in 3 days after his death, he shall rise again. There the angel came, rolled away the stone. The two ladies who went to visit the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, they seen the angel sitting on the stone, told them that I know you're here to see Jesus, but he's not here. He's not here. Look at what he said. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. The Lord is risen indeed. And go quickly, he said in verse 7, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Jesus is alive. There is no gimmick here. He was buried. Big stone was placed over his tomb. Guards were set. They couldn't stop it. The stone was rolled away by God himself sending his angel. And Jesus is alive. And now here is the evidence. As the angel told the ladies what to tell his disciples, they were going now, and Jesus himself met them. All hail, in verse 9, he said, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. That's all he said. All hail. They recognized his voice. They recognized him. They were looking for him. You see, if you look for Jesus, you will find him. They were looking for him. They were on a mission to deliver the message to his disciples that they should go into Galilee and Jesus will meet them into Galilee. And before they could reach the disciples, Jesus himself met them. And they held him by the feet and worshipped him. I think maybe at this point I should have you turn back just a little bit so that you can see that this, when we read that he is risen, as he said, here they told the ladies to go into Galilee. I want you to look quickly here at a verse in chapter 26. Hey, Matthew, go back a little bit. Chapter 26 and verse 32. says here, Jesus himself speaking, he said, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee, speaking to his disciples. So all of these things were said before it happened. You know, it is one thing for some people to make predictions. This is no prediction here. Jesus was simply telling his disciples and telling all the people who will listen what shall happen. You know, there are people who make a lot of predictions. People talk, you know, the horoscope things that will happen, and everything is so generalized. They make predictions. This was not a prediction. Jesus was simply stating to the people what will happen, telling them today so they could look for it the next day. Understand the culture that Jesus was growing up in. Understand it. The Jews always wanted a sign. And the Greeks always wanted to talk. They like to argue. They like to debate. The Jews always wanted a sign. And as you go back through the Old Testament, God always gave signs. You see, it is one thing if something happened and a person comes to you after it happened and says, I knew it was going to happen. And it's something else if somebody says to you, tomorrow at this time, this particular thing will happen. And then tomorrow at that particular time, the thing happens. Then the person has credibility. But anybody could make some general statements and say, well, tomorrow there will be a 50% chance of rain. It will be overcast. It will be this. It could be that. No, that person cannot go wrong. If the person said there will be a 50% chance of rain, and it will, if there is, it probably it might be cloudy, so you may want to take an umbrella with you. And they make all of these general statements in their prediction. Well, they cannot go wrong, because if there is no rain, they did not say it was going to rain, they say it will be a 50% chance of rain. And if there is rain, then they are right, because they said it was a 50% chance of rain. But if they say, they say tomorrow it will rain at this particular time, and it doesn't rain, and you point your finger and you say it did not rain, you didn't know what you were talking about. And if it rained, they look good. But that's not the point here. The point is, Jesus was saying specifically, ask God what will happen. When he is risen from the dead, he will go to Galilee ahead of his disciples, and they will go and they will find him there. He said it here in chapter 26. That's why the people went to Pilate and said, we remember what he said before he was dead. Now that he is dead, we want to make sure that the disciples don't steal him away. So let's make sure that this tomb is set in such a way that no one can enter it. They remember what he said. And here now, Jesus is meeting himself. The angel told the ladies what to do, and Jesus is now meeting with them as they were following the instructions of the angels, going to get to tell his disciples. Jesus met them on the way. But let's read on. In verse, we're now down to, let's go to verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So he's repeating again what the angel told the ladies. He is repeating again what he said before he was crucified, and now they are going. In verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. But listen to why they gave the money. Verse 13, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Do you understand what's happening here? When they went to Pilate, they said to Pilate, let's make sure that the tomb is sealed in such a way that even if the disciples attempted to come at night and steal him away, they wouldn't be able to do it. So they made sure that the tomb was sealed. No one can enter into it. Besides that, they were there to watch with their very eyes to make sure that it did not happen. So now it happened. Jesus rose from the dead. Now they are saying, they went now and they told the chief priest that Jesus indeed rose from the dead, exactly as he said before he was crucified. So now they must come up with an alibi. Remember what the problem was. You know, in You know, in school, there are those who will write theses and so on, and there is always a statement. What was the issue here? The issue is they want to make sure that Jesus remained in the tomb so that they could show everybody that Jesus is in the tomb, he is dead, he was indeed a deceiver, he was not raised, because they did not believe in him. And they would satisfy the people, because all along they were saying to the people, no, he's not God. He's not the Son of God. And that's why they killed him. The Bible tells us that. That's why they did it. So the thesis here, or what they were going after, is to make sure that he's not stolen by his disciples. Now they come and they say, his disciples did not steal him away. They were nowhere around during the course of the night. But something happened. We saw a man who came and rolled away the stone. We did not know what happened to Jesus. We were like dead men. But when we woke up, Jesus was not there. Not his disciples. So now it's a plot. Now we're going to have a plot. And what is the plot? The plot is that they are going to say to the people, we fell asleep at night and his disciples came and stole him. And now money is going to be exchanged. This is what it said. The chief priest gave them large sums of money. Verse 13. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And listen to verse 14. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. What is the point here? The point is, if they were supposed to be in charge, and they were supposed to be watching out to make sure that no one stole the body of Jesus, and now they cannot give an account as to what happened, then they were worthy of death. That was the penalty for it. They were worthy of death. They should be put to death. They fell asleep on the job, in other words. They should be put to death. But here is the chief priest saying, here, take this money. Just say that we fell asleep and his disciples took him away. So now they have committed a crime. But then those chief priests who are in authority now will conspire. And they are going to say to the governor now some kind of excuse so that they will not be punished, they will not be put to death. That's a conspiracy. Let's go on. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. If further proof is needed beyond this, then it means then that we don't quite understand. The fact that those in authority, those who put the Lord Jesus Christ to death, who gave the commandment, who put him to death, who made sure that he will never get out from that tomb, the fact that they had to come together with this alibi, and they had to bribe them to keep quiet about the truth, and to then publish a lie, shows exactly that Jesus rose from the dead. The people who did not believe in him had no option here. They were believers. They just would not admit it. They knew that Jesus rose from the dead, but they did not want to admit it, because all along during the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, they told the people that he was a deceiver. And what they're worried about? That if the people now know the truth, that Jesus rose from the dead, they will be seen as imposters themselves. Because if they held themselves out to be the religious leaders of the day, and they couldn't discern that Jesus was indeed Christ, he was indeed God, and they couldn't discern that, then they will have no standing in the community. So what were they protecting here? Their own standing in the community at the expense of the people knowing the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. How many people we have around today who do the same thing, protecting them or themselves so that others would not know and they would stand out in the community? Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. What did Jesus say? After he is risen from the dead, you ready? Chapter 26. After he is risen from the dead, he will go before his disciples into Galilee. What did the angel say in chapter 28? He is not here. He is risen as he said. Go quickly and tell his disciples to go into Galilee, and there shall they find him. What did Jesus say to the ladies as they were on the way to tell his disciples? He told them to go and tell his disciples that he's going ahead of them into Galilee, and there they shall meet him. What happens with the disciples when they went to Galilee? When they went into Galilee, we read here in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Which meant that Jesus told them before he died exactly where he will be in Galilee, the mountain that he will meet them at. He told them everything before he died. And now, where Jesus appointed them, they went. Verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So he was there waiting for them, exactly where he appointed them to be in the mountain. They saw him, they worshipped, and some doubted. You know, we are fortunate today that we have the entire scriptures that we can read. The disciples themselves did not have the entire scriptures that they can read. Yes, they did have the Lord Jesus Christ walking among them and teaching them as they go along. But they had to accept everything based on what Jesus told them. And, you know, there are so many things that Jesus taught them over the time that Jesus was with them in his public ministry. But they did not have the whole Bible to read as we have it today. And we're rather fortunate, and we thank the Lord for that. But it's important that we understand this. The young ones sang, God is not dead, he's yet alive. You see, this is the whole foundation of our faith, the whole foundation of our Christianity. Christianity, and listen carefully, it's not everyone who says I'm a Christian is indeed a Christian. I want to make that clear. When we talk about being a Christian, we're talking about one who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her own personal Savior. One who understands the reason why Jesus came into this world. He came into this world to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. We acknowledge him. That's the reason why he came. We talk to God. Some people call it prayer. We call it prayer. But it's actually talking to God, not to human beings. I'm talking to you now. When I talk, when I pray, I talk to God. So we talk to God, and we could talk to God out loud as I'm talking. Or we can speak quietly in our hearts, even while we sit there. And we say to God, I realize that Jesus Christ is your son.